Blog Talk Radio.
The Cosmic Citizen. We have a special show today, and I'm going to let Crystalyn introduce you to what's going on. A lot of good things are going on in the Urantia movement, and we want to tell you about them. So, take it away.
Well, and today we have a really special event to tell you about. Last week we talked about the upcoming international conference in Salt Lake City. Well, at the same time that that was going on, that our program was going on last weekend, there was a really remarkable event happening in Chicago. First time ever, the UAI Leadership Symposium was held. We didn't do a promo for that prior to the event because they were filled to the gills. From what I understand, every spot was taken, and it was a very successful event, and during the program, we had some people blogging and journaling about it on the forums on Facebook and MySpace and Twitter. And today, we are really happy to bring you some of the people involved in the planning of that event, as well as some of the people who participated and put together a program, as well as some of the attendees. And to start it out, I'd like to introduce you to James Woodward, who is one of the planners of the event, I believe. Isn't that right, James?
Yes, it is. Good morning.
And I'm hoping that maybe you can share with our audience a little bit about the vision and the mission of this fabulous leadership symposium last week.
Yes, I'd be happy to, and thank you for having me on the show. It's nice to be back here on the Cosmic Citizen.
It's a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much.
You know, I was guest number one. I don't know if you recall or not.
Paula
remembers.
I do. You were the very first guest we ever had on the show.
Oh, yes. Well, lovely to be back, and thank you for giving this program over to a recap of what we did there in Chicago last week. Just a little background, as I was the study group chair on the International Service Board, which is the administrative board of the UAI. I no longer have that position. We just had our elections, and we have a new fellow on board, so
And for those people who don't know, can you tell us what the UAI stands for?
Ah, thank you. That is Urantia Association International. We are a service organization dedicated to the dissemination of the Urantia book. And as I was saying, our service board is our directive body. And we came to an understanding about 3 years ago that we needed to do this project, that it would take the form of a conference. Eventually, we termed it a symposium because it came much more of a working conference. So we decided to call it a symposium, and it was geared to leadership. We know that we have some of our local organizations and even our national organizations needed a boost in leadership, and they needed some direction as to the mission of Urantia Association International, UAI. And so we began to plan this event. The actual planning took about 2 years, and as you know, mentioned, it just took place in Chicago at Techne Towers, a conference and retreat center just north of the city of Chicago.
And what was your attendance? What were the numbers?
Well, our attendance was limited because of the nature of the facility there. They're geared for smaller organizations to have their conferences and meetings there. And we were limited to 150 people. So we did we hit 150. Actually, we had, I think, 154 or five with some of the miscellaneous people that drifted in because there were accommodations for beds for only the 150, but some of our people were from the local Chicago area, so we went a little over the 150. We probably could have gotten more as the planning took shape and the word went out. We got quite a momentum going in the last couple of months. And especially with our foreign attendees, we had visitors, guests from 24 or 25 different countries scattered
wow.
All over the world.
Well, I won't ask you to list all those countries, but I know that you did have a really diverse attendance.
Yes, the attendance was diverse, and you know, we originally targeted our membership in the visioning for this. It was designed to invigorate the leaders that we have existing in our organization of UAI, and but it was never meant to be an exclusive meeting. We knew that we did have a limitation on the number of people who could attend, so we extended the invitation to our members first. But as it turned out, we got quite a bit of interest across the board, and at the end we had a nice turnout of members from the fellowship and also unaffiliated readers who saw what we were doing and wanted to come and see what this was all about.
So pretty much all of the different, almost all the different Urantia organizations around the world were represented to one extent or the other?
Well, yeah, I think that's safe to say. And we did have a very good representation of our leaders from our own groups, from our international membership, locals and nationals from Korea, from Australia, from Africa, all over Europe, and all over South America. Were in attendance. Many of those people had never been to the United States, let alone to a Urantia symposium where they could actually mingle with other readers and talk about the mission as they're doing it in their own country.
And this was also quite interactive as well. Everybody who was there was actually participating in the process. Is that correct?
Yes, the process took shape over a two-year period of designing the program, and the program was designed to get people active, to get them engaged. Maybe as a little background, the UAI has been focusing in on the publication mandate for quite a few years. Some of your listeners may or may not know, but it was this was a communication that supposedly came through the Contact Commission and superhuman authorship. But basically, you can find the publication mandate if your listeners want to go and look for it. But it talks about what the mission of the early students, particularly the early Brotherhood. It was read to the Brotherhood in 1955, and it sort of charted out the course. And it talked about the necessity for training leaders and teachers, and it also talked about the necessity of creating thousands of study groups. And so this is where UAI has really been focusing its energies over the last few years.
And translating the book into several different languages.
Yes, translating into many tongues is what the mandate actually says. And, of course, we have your Anchor Foundation that's taken the lead in that realm.
And how many different languages have we translated the book into so far?
You're
going to need to mute your computer. Whoever has the computer on in the background.
Just did that.
Okay.
Thanks. Sorry. I think they are at 15 translations with several more in process currently. Including the Japanese and the Chinese, which are have been pretty difficult to work on.
But they're underway.
15. Yes, they are underway. Quite a bit of progress.
So to recap, that's the real mission of the symposium was to bring people together to talk about really invigorating the leadership in those particular arenas. Training leaders and teachers, focusing on translation, and then the major push, which is to create thousands of new study groups worldwide. Is that correct?
Yes, that's very clear. And so we went about creating the program, what was very important, we thought that it was important for our leadership to understand the early leadership, meaning the Forum and the Contact Commission, the early work in Chicago that was done by Dr. Sadler, the more or less leader of the early work, the Contact Commission and the Forum. And so day one of the schedule was given over to a wonderful introduction to what that mission was, how it began, the history of it. We had some members of the Forum that were there speaking about the
whole... Some of the original members?
Yes, we did. We had Carolyn Kendall there, who was actually was the secretary for Dr. Sadler back in the early 1950s and was a member of the Forum and is still very much involved in Urantia affairs. So she was wonderful for people to come from different parts of the world and get this new a review of what actually took place from somebody who was there. It was very, very touching and educational.
Well, we also have Mike Bain from Florida on the phone with us today.
Hi.
And Mike Bain is a second-generation Urantia Book student like myself. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
And
hey, Mike.
Hey, James. How you doing?
Wonderful.
So maybe between the two of you, you can sort of talk about what the program was like and how you were involved.
Well, as James said, it was kind of intended for folks they sought out that could be leaders and teachers and people who can have people, especially outside of the U.S., people who are representing their country. You know, there were folks that were there that were the only folks from the country. For example, a young couple from Ukraine. So it was quite a thing to see these folks all together in one place. And I'd say to reiterate what James said, was that the main core theme was to impress upon the leaders that the study group is the foundation for the dissemination of the teachings. It's really the only proven and effective social and spiritual group within the Urantia community that has never really experienced any issues, simply because of the way the practices are laid out for the study group. We concentrate on the Urantia book only. And within the study group, they also iterated that the study groups are pretty much autonomous as long as they stick to the spirit of the Urantia teachings and concentrate on the book. They've laid out different, folks have talked about different scenarios where they had worship included with the study group, but they had special, the Canadians especially laid out an excellent program of how they have, they'll pick a theme and they'll concentrate on that, or they'll have special groups get together where it will be all the study groups get together to do presentations once in a while. And the program consisted of some daily talks spread throughout the day, but the most influential and the most important part of it was the group breakout sessions, because we were placed into a group with a specific purpose that was later revealed to us within the group. So there was, I'd say there was an idea of that these groups kind of, in a way, became what a study group would be, because we really got to know the folks in our group, even within.
Did you stay with the same groups every day?
Yes. Yeah, we stayed with the. That was the most important concept, was to stay with the group, and to participate in the group and share the personal objectives within the group. And usually there wasn't any information shared among the other groups.
Well, let's back up just a little bit and say, well, what was the format of the, how many days was this symposium, and what was the program like?
It was 5 days. The first day was really just an introduction and gathering day. And James, please step in, because I'm going completely from memory here. I don't have any books in front of me. So the first day was an introduction.
Did you have a primary speaker who started out the day, or did you break into the small groups right away?
Gaetan Charlon was the main speaker throughout, and then that was he kind of promoted the theme throughout, and then there were other speakers. Bennett, is it Rutenberg, James?
You got it.
Okay, yeah, Bennett was the person who kept things flowing, and as everyone knows, it's very, sorry about the noise, it's very difficult to get Urantia book readers to organize sometimes. So Bennett and other folks helped.
A little bit like herding cats.
Yes, yes, there were many jokes thrown around about that, simply because of the opportunities for social discourse.
Mm-hmm.
Some folks just couldn't resist, so they had it printed in the manuals that we need to demonstrate leadership skills by being on time and things like that. And I give them a lot of credit for having the patience to deal with us, simply because also on top of that, there were language barrier challenges.
Oh,
and,
I bet.
Which was a fantastic opportunity to attempt to communicate in other ways besides just verbal communication. But I'm getting off topic. So there were
designated speakers each
right,
day
there was, there
for
were
a percentage
the,
of the day, and then you broke out into the small groups?
That's right. Yeah, we broke out into groups in was it late morning? And then we had another speaker again in the room, and then we had a break for lunch, and then we'd do another group breakout afterwards.
And about how long were each of the break? How long did the each of these parts last?
Total group breakout sessions per day was, I believe, 5 hours, around 5 hours, but it wasn't 5 hours solid. So there was
right.
there was time in between each one.
Okay.
And
then you said you didn't really know what your topic was to start with, or you did have a specific goal and topic each day. Maybe you can answer that, James.
Well, yes. The what Mike's alluding to is a little bit of the mystery. When people went into the afternoon sessions, we wanted them to be able to not bring in any preconceived notions and to work through what they had been taught in the morning from the speakers in the morning. For instance, on day one, as Mike said, Gaetan Chelan, the president of UAI, he spoke at every day as a connective, using a connective thread to keep us on track and on target. But we also had on day one, we had Mo Siegel, the president of the foundation. We had Barbara Newsom, Carolyn Kendall, Linda Buscelli, Jeff Waddles, and Phil Taylor all spoke about the history of the revelation. And we saw a video that had been produced that went through the historical aspects of the revelation and the contact commissioners themselves. Might note that in that group there in the morning, we've got a wonderful cross-section of membership from the fellowship and UAI.
Now,
many
is that
of those,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Many of those members being dual members of UAI and the fellowship, which I'm happy to see.
And is that video available to other people who might want to view it at some point for other groups?
Yeah.
Or?
Yes, it is. It was produced by First Society of Chicago. And if you go to their website, I believe they have a website, but you know I don't have the details for it. But
well, maybe
I'm
by
sure
the end
can...
of the program today, if anybody else who comes on the air has information about how some of our listeners, either their study groups or regional conferences, might have access to that. Is that the video that was put together for the 50th anniversary on the history of the movement?
Yes, it is. Yes, it's that. It is that video.
Cool. Yeah. Well,
yes,
it would be nice to. That's one of the focuses of the International Urantia Media Arts Competition and organization is to produce, develop, and disseminate film and video introductions to the book. So that's something we'd sure like to know about.
Well, it's
so
there.
So I have a question
there.
For you guys.
Yes. Yes.
You know, the Urantia book indicates that a very small percentage of the population of the planet are truly leaders, and that one of our jobs is to cultivate, you know, as it, not only as the Urantia book readers, obviously, but as a world. who try to cultivate good leadership and wise leadership and forward-looking leadership. And Jesus referred to the blind leading the blind, and I think about, you know, I look at the state of the world right now, and I think, wow, we've got that a lot down here. And so I'm wondering, I've always thought that true leaders are more born than they are cultivated, but would you say that most of the people that were called to attend consider themselves leaders and really want to hone their skills at leadership?
I'd say
you could say was the criteria for leadership?
Yeah, that's a good one. What was the criteria used to determine? Or I know the invitation went out to everyone, but it just seems to me like the people who would be most called to it would be those who consider themselves leaders.
Or
well,
at least
that's
are
true.
Really
and,
committed.
Right, and what we, like I said, we did focus on the people who are currently in leadership positions, having roles in their local associations or their national associations. We did target those individuals, and we did sponsor quite a few of our international friends who have never been out of their own country, but who are doing great work in their own country with dissemination and study groups. So, you know, people who have stepped up, like you say, of their own accord into leadership roles in their own country, we wanted to take those people and give them a boost and also to educate them about the history, the origin, the history, and the destiny, and to give them something to take back into their countries to energize them, so to speak. One of the key elements of this program was that it was designed to be replicable. That is,
oh, cool.
The program points and the educational elements were all designed to be taken back to local countries so that this information could be shared in a flavor of the local area, you know, with their own particular styles and needs.
And then the same type of process could be repeated.
Yes, exactly. So that was built into the whole program design. And as Mike was saying, the afternoon sessions really were study groups. We assigned people to a group. We gave them little names like the Nodites and the Adamites and the Sumerians. Mike, what group were you in?
I was in the Adamites.
I'm Adamite.
Oh, lucky
yes.
for you.
Yes. And
such,
you know, this
such
was
an elite
a
group.
right. This was a unique thing in conference organization, is to keep the people in the same group for 3 days for, you know, the afternoon sessions of intense question going through what was discussed during the morning plenaries. It resonated really well.
That would really promote, you know, getting to know one another as well as really socializing the experience, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it did work out, and some of the only critiques that we got from people was that there wasn't enough socializing time. And you know how it is when your Rancho Book readers get together. We just love to talk and socialize, but this was not a socializing conference. Of course, that's an important part of it, but we knew that we had a lot of material, a lot of ground to cover. And
yeah, a lot of work to get
so
done.
A lot of work. So, and people were great about getting there on time, about getting in and focusing. I think people really did understand that this was a working event, and they came prepared to do the work.
Yeah, this is definitely an intensive. It's not like anything I've ever experienced before, and I hope there's more. And some folks missed the socializing, but that wasn't really the intent of the entire thing. It was really, to give us some tools to help develop ourselves and to help us understand the main purpose
was
of the organization.
Teamwork leadership development?
I'd say yes, because they forced us into a group situation where they said specifically no one is supposed to be a leader. And
cool.
Some people psychologically will put others in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And we analyzed that in our own group. We unknowingly put Jane Plutz in charge, but then she kind of disavowed her leadership and said, well, we're all contributing. She said, I'm just gathering materials. So,
we're all leaders in our own right. And
yes. And I think, not to put down any other conferences, but I've only been able to get into a comfortable social level with other readers. This was much more intensive. And in my group, this brought me into a level beyond that comfort level where you could actually talk about things that were so intensely personal to you. And they have some warnings in the documentation saying some of this is very personal, some of the questions are very personal, and you don't have to answer in your group if you don't want to. You could turn in the paperwork separately. But we went there. We went into intensely personal things that I normally wouldn't bring up over even with other Urantia book readers normally. So I think that tied us together in a level that will allow us to foster future communications, even though we're really apart, you know, physically. You know, there's some folks in my group that are from UK and one person was from the Netherlands. But we made a promise to each other to maintain this communication and not get into, well, I was busy or I was doing something. I wanted to go back to the program day again.
I just have a quick question. How many
sure.
people were there in each group?
There were between 8 and 10. Isn't that right, James?
Yes, it was designed for 8 and, you know, late scheduling. Some groups had a little more, or depending on some other commitments, the people were in and out. But 8 was designed to be the optimum number, sort of like a study group.
So the intention was to really build what M. Scott Peck would call authentic community, as opposed to sort of pseudo community, to get into some of the hard stuff, so you really get to know each other, and you get to overcome whatever prejudices or differences, you know, sort of you may imagine you have initially.
Well, I know some folks don't like analysis, but I think there's some studies that are begging to be done on Urantia social groups, and we can't help it. We're social creatures, and those social things are going to come out of the spiritual aspects of the book anyway. You know, we're gregarious animals. And I think there's several levels of this social fabric that we have. There's the top public level. Then there's the second Urantia book level, and then there's that third layer that we really delve into, and that's a personal layer, where you get to really open up to someone else, and that's because there's a level of trust, because you get to know the person, you really get to know them very well.
Kind of,
but
like
I think,
real family.
Yes. Yes.
I don't mean to keep putting words
yes.
in your mouth. I'm just.
No,
telling
okay.
you that after
I'm going off
a week
memory
of,
anyway.
a week of reading intensely a lot of the journaling that was going on online, you know, we heard some of these terms bantered about.
Yes, and so the first part of the conference, the first day, was a history. So I think what they wanted to establish is in the minds of folks who were not too clear about where the thing came from. And I'll give you an excellent example. I was placed in an interesting situation when I was driven back from the airport. I just wanted to give a hats off to Bill Lindemann He was awesome. He drove so many people from the airport, and I don't know if anyone knows, but O'Hare is insanely complex. So hats off to Bill. So Bill and myself and two Colombian gentlemen were in the car. One spoke no English at all, and then the other one spoke very little English. So I have lousy Spanish skills, but I put them to the test. And the one question that they posed to us that night before we could get a translator was, how are the Saddlers? And I think there was a misconception that they thought that Dr. Saddler and Bill Jr. were still alive.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that first history day was extremely important, and the visit to 533 was extremely important, just to give folks an understanding around the circumstances of you know, the times and the people surrounding the Urantia book. And
did all 150-some people do a tour of the foundation
building? I believe
building?
The majority did. I believe there's a good chunk of folks who went, because we had to split it out into two tour days, and the tour bus was pretty full each time. So I think the most valuable time for me, though, was the second day of the conference, and that was self-mastery, which is...
That was the topic?
Yes, the entire theme of the second day was self-mastery and everything surrounding that gigantic topic about mastering your own ego and mastering yourself and knowing when to place yourself out of the situation so you can get work done faster and organizing yourself and giving people ideas on how they can get started conquering their own selves. And that's a huge and important part of being a leader, is just realizing that you can keep working on yourself. You know, you're always a work in progress, right? From here until
eternity.
You mean
there are no perfect people around here?
I haven't seen any Havona natives here lately.
Nobody fused yet?
Well, that's still not perfection, remember.
Right,
they've still got a long
true.
Ways to go, even after fusion.
That's
so
true.
That
would be pretty
was...
good for a human.
So that second day was, I think that was the most valuable to me. The third day was fantastic. The third day was an analysis of the groups and organizations, and the talks gave a good overview of the groups and organizations. And then the breakout groups, do you remember, James, what the exact assignments were?
Most of the details of day three were related to how the organization can better serve its members, and especially the mission of forming study groups. And so it was designed in questions, as you've talked about. We created these questions that were, you know, designed to elicit responses from each group so that we could better chart the course going ahead. And in some ways, this whole thing was a focus group. You know, leadership, it was the top leadership, if you will, of UAI that designed it. But UAI is a grassroots organization, and we know that the real work goes on at the local level, at the local association level and in local study groups. And we wanted to get that crucial information back up so that everybody could share it. And that was sort of the hidden objective in this whole thing, was to elicit this information so that the leadership across the world could share the wisdom of what's going on at the local level. And so we created this little local level, like a study group, and asked very very probing questions about how we were doing and how it might be improved. Also, a little thank you to Mike there for day two. When we talked about leadership, we wanted to touch on this very important aspect of spiritual leadership, and we actually called it that. Day two was called spiritual leadership when we initiated it. Sheila Keen Lund and myself were the co-chairs for creating the program for day two. But about a year and a half ago, we decided that the true leadership was the art of self-mastery. And, of course, we went deeply into the Urantia book for our inspiration for creating this day. And specifically, we went to the leadership mode and character of Jesus. And that became the focus. The speakers in the morning of day two were focused on the art of self-mastery, how to do the inner work, how to become true leaders by focusing on self-leadership and what we term servant leadership. And then in the afternoon, and that's a growing concept even in the secular world. We're seeing a lot of that servant leadership concept reaching out throughout the world, which is a positive thing.
One of the foundational concepts of the Urantia Study Group Leadership or Study Group Leaders Network is that really it's the study group leaders around the world that are serving the movement at the highest level, you know, sort of the unsung heroes, if you will.
I want to expand the concept around the study group also, and also to drive home the point that the study group was and is the most single most important factor of the conference, of the symposium, and ongoing, and that they also wanted to stress to us that the study group portal, they intended that to be a non-affiliated portal where they want every single person who's leading a study group on the planet to put their information in there simply for the fact of communication.
Mm-hmm.
They want everyone to be aware of each other and to be able to know if there are any readers in little pockets that are separated by geographic distance, that they're not separated by social groups or social issues. They're linked to everyone spiritually, and they can link to everyone through the internet through that portal. They stressed that quite a few times, that the portal is a joint effort between multiple Urantia-based organizations, and that it has nothing to do with any of the the rules or creeds or anything set up by anyone, just that everyone should promote the Urantia book only during the study groups and study the Urantia book. Those are mainly the rules there, and they want everyone, if they want to register on the portal there.
Cool. Yeah, I'm hoping that we'll have some of the people who are participating in that will also be in attendance at IC11. I don't know if you're planning to come, James, but we're going to be having our first face-to-face meeting of the Urantia Study Group Leaders Network there. And I think this would be something that would be great to share with that network too, because the purpose of it is really to do the same thing, to kind of create a network of support, not only for people who want to participate in study groups, but for study group leaders to be able to be in touch with each other for support, for inspiration, for guidance, for a more interactive network of resources. You know, being a study group leader can sometimes be very challenging to do consistently and to do well, you know, for decades at a time.
Hey, Chris,
we have several other individuals who participated in the symposium who've been invited to call in, and I'm betting our first group is waiting to talk. Do you have something urgent to finish before we invite them to join the conversation? We've sort of gone over our
half-hour
limit.
Here, let me.
Cool.
Good morning.
I want to give a hats off to Mike for the we didn't talk about day four, which was a worship service. And
we're going to be getting into that in a few minutes. You're welcome to stay on the line, James.
Yes, please do.
Yes.
Caller, you're with us on Blog Talk Radio. Hello.
What area code, Paula?
It's coming up a Skype, 111, all ones. Are you there, caller? Hello? Well, we'll leave them on and just see if maybe they can chime in. Sometimes those Skype calls can be challenging.
Yeah, Skype is a blessing and a curse, isn't it? We get really dependent on it sometimes, but then... when they're upgrading it, sometimes it has a hard time interfacing with some of the other newer systems.
You know, I just want to comment that what I liked so much about what you said, Mike, was that you guys got to spend quite a bit of time with each other in a specific group, and I think that really helps to get to know people, and then you form vital connections that are just invaluable. So that was
neat.
Yeah,
exactly.
Crystalyn, while we're waiting for your other guests to come in, I will be attending IC 11, and I look forward to attending that that roundtable on study
That's
group.
That's great.
I'm also giving a workshop on study groups on Wednesday in the afternoon session, the workshops. Study group as sacred space.
I'll let all the members know if you'll tell me the date, time, the place, and the time that's going to be happening. I won't be arriving there until Wednesday night, so I'm really, well, maybe I'll have to try to get there early so I can get to that. But I'm not scheduled to arrive till Wednesday night. But the Study Group Leadership Network is going to have their first roundtable discussion after the plenary on Thursday, before lunch, after the plenary and before lunch. So maybe you can try to keep that open in your schedule and be one of our participants in that. We'd be really grateful.
Okay, so we have two more calls. So hold on.
Okay.
Area code 4, you're with on Blog Talk. Area code 514.
Hello.
Hello.
Am I the only 514?
Yes, you are. Hello. Hold on, I'll put on the other caller too. Area code 574, you are also with us on Blog Talk.
Good morning. It's Susan Griscovia. How are you?
Hi, Susan.
Hi.
Thank you for calling. And Diane, welcome.
Hi, Kristen. Thank you.
We're also expecting Will and Margo Sherwood to call in here any minute. So,
hey Susan, this is Mike Bain. Did I'm sorry, I'm not good with names. Did I meet you?
Yes, you met me.
Okay.
we met several times. Remember, I was at the registration desk.
Oh, that's right. Okay, cool.
You and I and Heather talked quite a bit in the lounge one night. Remember?
That's right. Yeah.
Hi, James. How are you?
Well, welcome to our program, Susan.
Thank you.
I think this might be your first time on Cosmic Citizen.
Yes, it is.
And welcome, Diane. It's not your first time on Cosmic Citizen.
No, I have the pleasure to say no, but it's always such a joy to listen to the work that you are doing. And maybe I can just pass a very short comment because I know you will have many people calling in, but I just felt moved to call in of one to say that I was there, and it was, as you know, with Susan and all of us, it was an extraordinary event, and kudos to everyone that worked on it. And it was nice because of the experience that we lived last year in Montreal. It was a similar experience again, that family feeling, that feeling of love, of togetherness, of teamwork, as the acronym says, together, everyone achieves more. And it was wonderful. And the reason why I'm calling is because I wanted to say that there is, you know, at every event you go, there's always a little novelty or something new, you know, that you're happy to discover. And personally, I was thrilled to find out that there was a Urantia Study AIDS by Hara Davis that I did not know of.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's the reason why I'm calling, because I'm sure that I am not the only Urantia book reader that did not know of this. I bought it, and it's a wonderful, wonderful study AIDS. It's this person, Hara, it was handled by Gary Rawling from the UK. And Gary and I spoke, and he said, Diane, it took 5 years to put this together. And it's the whole book from the foreword to the part four that's been put into a 42-page study aid reference book. And it's
really... Is that
really,
the spiral-bound version?
No.
No, this is a stapled...
Oh, okay.
Almost like a magazine format with
yes.
Slick pages and beautiful colors. But go ahead, Diane. Yes. I'll let you finish.
Yeah, it's just so colorful. It's so nice because every single page has, it's like having a poster. You know, every time I go there to those events, of Urantia events, I buy all the posters available. But unfortunately, when you travel, you can't roll them up and travel with, bring them with you. So this beautiful book has every page on a particular subject. Like if you want to know about your local system administration, you go to page 20. So if you're studying, if you're having your study group one night and you want a quick reference, you go there and then page 20, the major points are there, so it's easily accessible. And I would like to leave the email address of Gary in case anyone around the world wants to know more about it. Can I leave the email address?
Oh, please do.
Okay, so the contact, his name is Gary Rawling, R as Robert, A-W, L-I-N as Norman, G-S. He's in the UK, and his email address is Gary Urantia, all in one word, at AOL.com. And it was only $20 for the whole thing. And
now, are they available only through Gary, or are they available through the foundation
through
or through Morningstar?
No. Gary called me from the UK yesterday. I told him that I'm going to IC11 next week. I'm so looking forward to be there. And I asked him if he could ship a box to the Salt Lake City, and he said it's a bit too late, but there are some in Chicago that are going to be brought at IC11.
Oh, good. We
yeah.
have an African study group leader who's staying with us for 6 weeks who's going to be there, and we're putting together a box of study materials to take back to Ghana, where an ordained pastor, also a second-generation Urantian, is looking for study materials. That sounds
this
like it might
be
great.
It is superb work. Like right now in my study group at home in Montreal, we are studying the life and teachings of Jesus, and we're in the tour around, you know, the Roman tour, the Mediterranean tour. So on page 33, you have the whole map with the name of the cities and the where he went and all the details and everything. So I used it as soon as I came back from Chicago. Monday night we had our study group. I used it and I showed my people, my friends, hey, look, this is it. And they loved it. They all gave me the money and said, please buy me one for next week.
Yeah, I got one, and I can't wait to show my folks here. They're
yes.
going to want one, and it's pretty wild. It's packed with info.
Yes.
But it's laid out in a fashion that is easy to learn from. And I'm a visual learner, so it really
me too.
Appealed to me.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So it's
yes.
really cool. It was one of the cool things that came out of the conference. And if anyone
that's
missed
right.
his email, I have Gary's email address because he was in my group. So
oh, wonderful.
Yeah, I got to be up close and personal with Gary. And
wonderful.
Yeah.
It was
that
only wonderful people.
Yeah.
Well,
absolutely.
We are all wonderful. We're all God's children. And one of the things that I love about our Urantia movement is that we really do seem to understand that we all are wonderful in our own unique ways.
Well, I would like to end by saying we are so wonderful in humbly speaking that I will always remember Crystalline and Paula and everyone on the air. My very, very first event, which was IC93, the Fellowships International Conference, and my whole family of 12 came to visit with me because we had a special event there. And I will always remember one of my sister, she said to me after the conference, "What is it with you people? You are so radiating. What did you eat? Is it in something? What is it? You are
is it
so
in the
radiating.
Kool-Aid or the brownies?"
She said, "You're so full of love. It's unbelievable." She said, "Diane, I've been observing you and the whole group, and you should see the bond that's between every one of you. And I would like to say it's because we did get the message of the religion of Jesus, not about Jesus, but of Jesus, the religion of love." And I said to her, "Linda, enlightened life, that's what we will all be living like, you know." So
yeah,
it was that indeed. In Chicago. It was really congratulations
well, thank
to everyone.
Thank you for sharing that, and thank you especially, too, for sharing about the study group pamphlet. And, Susan, you kind of got cut off right after you were introduced. What would you like to share about your experience at the event?
Well, I just called in because I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who attended, and what a transcendent experience it was for me to be there and meet everyone from around the world, people that you email or you hear of but you've never really met in person. And the love was really the dominant factor. And the goal that we've all committed to of establishing study groups and hopefully reaching a goal of 1,000 study groups by 2015, if not sooner. And someone made a comment on the message board that, you know, should we be doubling our efforts? I hope we do double and quadruple our efforts. I want everyone to be, you know, alive with that empowering goal to share the truth. And that's all I really want to say. I came home and I was energized, and I feel like I'm going to start 3 study groups. I've already started one. I met, you know, day before yesterday with my first bunch, and I'm going to get out there and you know, do it again. And I've started study groups before, and I just feel like I'm going to make it happen again and do my part. So I hope everyone will share in that goal and we'll make it happen. So we have a lot to share with the world. We shouldn't be sitting on our bottom.
One of the things that I found very inspiring in Montreal at one of Gaetan's workshops or presentations was the idea in the Montreal area that they have, which is that each of their study groups is really a training ground for new study group leaders. That was an idea that I hadn't heard expressed that way before, but I thought that was really an excellent sort of a perspective changing idea.
Gaetan mentioned that in one of his speeches, that, you know, if you have a group and you have leadership qualities there, spin the group off, make 2 groups, get new people to come in, and that's, you know, it's, you get comfortable with a group that you've been studying with. I had a group for 20 years.
And there's nothing wrong with having more than one study group a week, too. You can go to your favorite group and start another group. I mean, my folks go to 3 groups a week.
And I hadn't been doing that, and I was in one of my breakout group sessions. I had heard that someone actually has a special program for the kids. And here I have 9 grandkids, and I'm not preparing, you know, lessons for them and teaching them other than, you know, if they call me or ask me something, but nothing structured. So it really encouraged me. At least one of the groups I'm going to have is for my own grandkids.
Well, here, that is music to my ears, and I'm sure music to Paula's ears as well. We both are passionately promoting the concept of having kids in study groups.
That group is Jennifer Siegel's group, and my own daughter and granddaughter are a part of that group.
And my stepdaughter and soon-to-be my niece and nephew. mm-hmm. or participants. So
we're all
and
it, at Boulder, we've always tried to incorporate the children into what we're doing. And interestingly enough, my daughter May and my granddaughter Ella could go to Truth Seekers if they wanted to, but they don't. They want to stay in the conference and serve the conference coming up this next week. That's what they love to do, you know, and they could be going out and having fun and climbing mountains and stuff, but they'd rather be at the conference studying with everybody else. So
they're used to the study format, and they've really bonded. One of the things that's so moving to me about the kids study group is that I've watched that grow and develop as they from when they were just starting to learn to read through graduating from high school. And this group of kids are truly brothers and sisters in the most profound way. They love and support one another. They will be for life.
For life.
There will be nothing that can ever come between those kids.
No
Don't
doubt.
Don't you agree, Paula?
No doubt. No doubt. I mean, they're friends for life. And
they're getting the brotherhood of man and the family of God concept from the very, very beginning.
Right, absolutely.
But we've run amok again on a passionate topic.
Well, we have two callers, Crystalyn. So I invite everybody to stay on, but I'd like to get these new callers on too.
Terrific.
813, you're on the Cosmic Citizen.
Hi, this is Bill at Cher Beasley.
Hi, Bill.
Good morning or good afternoon in your case. Welcome to the Cosmic Citizen.
Thank you. Thank you for hosting such a wonderful show.
It's great to hear you guys. Hi.
Well, we were hoping that we could move on into another part of the program that happened that was very inspirational. And we invited Bill and Cher on to talk about the work that you guys put in a long time organizing your portion of the program as well. Would you care to share it with us?
Yeah, of course. And I'm glad you qualify with that as well, because there was a huge team that worked on this whole symposium. And, you know, we were but a small part of that. We were responsible for day four of the symposium, and basically that day was put aside as a recap, and which we didn't do, but as a worship service. And we were asked to do this last fall, and of course last fall you're looking 7 or 8 months in advance, so you have plenty of time, right?
yes, we gave a hearty yes.
we did work on it quite a bit, and I would just James used the term earlier that the Leadership Symposium, the program was designed to be replicated, and this is how we designed the worship service also. We think it's a very, very important aspect of any gathering of any group, regardless of whether they're your rancher readers or any type of group. This being international, I would like to say we were faced with some challenges, which was really, really interesting. And they were the same challenges that the rest of the team, the symposium team, had. One of the things was we had people, as it was brought out, representatives from 24 different countries. There were 4 different languages. And during the first 3 days of the symposium, there were real-time translators. Yes, and
if you don't mind my asking, what languages were you translating in?
The main languages, and correct me if I'm wrong, James, were French and Spanish, and then there were some Portuguese, but I don't believe the Portuguese was translated real time.
That is correct, Bill.
Okay, very good. There was no real time translation, and in a worship service. There's a lot of cultural differences because there are people from so many countries there. There's a lot of religious backgrounds, and it was an hour and a half program. And I remember sitting in church when I was a kid, and I was so antsy. I was ready to just jump off the seat, you know, after about 45 minutes. So this presented a really, really unique challenge, and we really enjoyed it. I must say that Mike was part of our worship team also.
Mike Bain.
Hi, I'm on the line.
Okay, yeah, we've been listening to you, Mike.
Yeah. Okay.
our intentions for the worship program was to basically just provide the venues there, but our intentions were to provide an atmosphere to help people to open their minds as much as they could, so that the spiritual influences in our lives could do their work, and that's how that was our intentions and our goals when we started.
Mm-hmm. And you know, prayer is powerful, and we change ourselves and we change the world through prayer, which stimulates us to action. And the prayer portion of the program, we were hoping that actually the whole program, people would personalize it, take it home, take the thoughts and ideas home, and personalize them with their own groups and their own families and individually. One of the, in the prayer section, we read like very short quotes, basically, and then allowed 30 seconds for the group to meditate on that quote. And an example is, all believers in this gospel should pray sincerely for the extension of the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus said. And
wow.
And people can personalize that in their own group. And we did, I think there might have been 8 of those. So you could do half a dozen or 10 for a prayer session.
Wow.
Another, it was really powerful. Another section was thankfulness. Mike did the thankfulness portion, and he basically gave very short quips of things that are provided to us, like the spirit of truth to be thankful for. And something that Mike said is that we are grateful for these gifts that are given so freely, and he asked us to concentrate and hold these things close in our hearts. And and he probably had a dozen different concepts and allowed time to contemplate or meditate on those, reflect. And those too can be personalized in your own group or or privately.
Wow. I have two quick things I'd like to interject.
Yeah.
My dad was really good with us when we were kids. He was the one who introduced us to the book and introduced us to the God concept and expanded philosophy in the Arantia book when we were really young. One of the things
blessed
he taught us was that we were being showered, literally showered,
yeah,
almost like a rainstorm,
mm-hmm,
with blessings from our Heavenly Father, from our Universe Mother, from our spiritual teachers, guides, leaders, guardians, all the time, every day, that literally billions of blessings were being showered upon us every day. And the only thing standing in the way of receiving those blessings or being aware of them was,
yes,
the attitude of gratitude.
Yes. You are really blessed. And, you know, one of the quotes in the Urantia book is that Jesus deplored, I mean, that's a strong word, that so little of the spirit of thanksgiving was in the prayers and worship of his followers.
Right. Another thing, we had a discussion. We both decided after we had finished university that the next thing we were going to devote ourselves to was a cover-to-cover reading of the book individually,
mm-hmm,
by ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And shortly after that, we made a pact in our own relationship to, like, similar to the Andon and Fonta pact, that, you know, we would live for and for the betterment of each other, that we would dedicate ourselves to our brother and sister relationship for eternity.
Oh.
And one of the discussions we had early on was, if the Havona citizens have to be literally stopped from worshiping, or they would worship all the time, that what they were doing must be very different from what our current evolutionary religions deemed as worship.
Right. Oh. Yes, well, agreed.
Think about it. They've fused already with their thought adjuster, so there's probably a mutual there's a point of mutual contact that's instantaneously going on within the mind of that person and the mind of the father. So if worship gives such a pleasurable experience on all levels, on the material level, I can't even begin to imagine what it's going to do on a spiritual level. So yeah, no wonder everyone wants to be in that state all the time.
Yeah,
right.
Because I would feel it would be the equivalent of if we were made of solar panels and we'd be out in the sun all the time. So we'd be constantly recharged. Our energy constantly recharged. So
and collecting that energy and saving
and giving back at the same time.
Giving back, yep.
Yeah.
Using it as well as saving it.
Yeah.
Paul, may I interject something at this point?
Is this Susan?
This is Susan. Yes. This is exactly my favorite part of the book. It's, I think, on page 305, the conductors of worship.
Yes.
That you guys are talking about. And the one thing I just wanted to say is that it not only does something for us, but there is a quote in that section that says that there is a time when God the Father actually feels totally fulfilled of our worship, and there's a signal of the lights that, you know, or else worship would never stop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about giving back to Him in the only way we really can. So it's not just for our own benefit, but to return the love.
Thank you for sharing that. What were you going to say, Paula?
The full fluctuation of light to show that the deity's hearts have been truly satisfied by the worship.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, part of, if I can go back to this, to the worship service, I'd like to kind of run through this because I'd like to share
Thank
it with
you.
Everyone. You're talking about giving to God and, you know, and receiving from God. And we did several exercises during the we call it the devotions or the worship service. And what was a breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in the love of God. Breathe out your love for God. You know, breathe in strength. Breathe out weakness. And there were pauses between this, and they were repeated in Spanish and then in French. You know, for everyone's benefit.
That sounds beautiful.
There was, and I would like to mention also, and this is just to kind of give a bit of a visual, is there was music in between each sections of these. Christina Seaborn played her violin between a transition in between each segment of the worship. Allison Zopel and Christina played at the beginning and the end, and also Allison, Christina, and Jane did some singing of a song called One Voice right at the beginning, which was a very, very wonderful
one. I love that song.
Oh, it is. It was such a wonderful, it put everyone in a wonderful mood to start with.
It set the mood. And then I read some quotes from Jesus during the ordination, and he was speaking to his apostles, and I feel like he was speaking to us as well when he's speaking to his apostles, and kind of ended with, and this is the good news of the gospel, that by faith every mortal may have these essentials of salvation, and by faith in the effectiveness of the supreme human desire to do the will of God, to be like God, we can be. That's kind of summarized a little bit.
Paraphrasing, yeah.
Paraphrasing, thank you.
Beautiful.
Paraphrasing.
So can we take
it? I would like to, could I say something here? This is James. And, you know, during the process of putting this together, we assigned this the day four duties to Bill and Cher as the leaders, and although we had interaction and there was some guidance and some throwing some ideas around, it was basically theirs to do because we had faith in their ability to do it, and our faith was justified.
Well done.
I mean, and then some. My expectations were exceeded in what they put together. And Mike, I did look around for you afterwards. I think you must have had to get out of there Sunday. But I wanted to say to you that the section that you did particularly responded. My heart responded to it.
I have to say that. Not even being there, but just hearing about the inspiring nature of the worship service was one of the things that really inspired me to want to do this program.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jane. And we ended with a visualization, and the visualization is basically a guided meditation that. Jesus was leading the apostles up into the hills north of Capernaum, and it goes on and on, and it ends with, and now Jesus is in front of you, and he places his hands on your head, and you are being blessed. And what does Christ Michael desire for you?
Ask yourself.
Yes. If not now, when? If not you, who?
And mm-hmm. And the idea is that. We can do that privately and personally at home regularly.
And every day.
Every day. That's exactly
every
right.
By ourselves and with our families and with our other spiritual groups.
Right. And we also had Charles Montgomery painted a beautiful, huge tapestry. Approximately 5 feet wide, about 8 feet tall, of Jesus looking up into the heavens with his arms spread out, consecrating himself to the will of God. And below that were 150 bricks.
Or rocks.
Rocks
really.
As a foundation for him to stand on. It was one rock for each person at the symposium. To sign.
With their personal consecration to the Father in paint. We had paint pens. And around 140 people signed that.
And I think
consecrated themselves.
And I think the rest had already left.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's, you know, one of the things your Rancher book says is that it is really important for us to develop new rituals. And new symbols.
Yes.
And who's ever got their computer on in the background, can you please mute it? We're getting feedback.
Mm. No, that's not ours.
Chris, we have three callers waiting, and one has been waiting for 25 minutes.
Oh, my God.
All right. It's probably Will,
so
Will and Margo. Thank you so much. You can stay on the line.
Oh, it was our pleasure. Okay,
Bill and
Cher,
I invite you to stay on. There's plenty of room on the line if you want to, so...
Thank you.
You bet. Area code 442, I know you've been waiting a long time. I hope you're still with us.
Hello? 442, you're on the air.
Okay, 442 is not answering, but let's try. I know this is Will Sherwood. Hi, Will.
Well, hi, Paula. How are you?
Hi. Show.
That was Paula. This is Crystal. And hi, Will.
Hi, Crystal.
And
hello,
I'm
lady.
Much,
I'm going to bring one more person on. Hang in here with us. Area 41, you're with us on Blog Talk.
Here.
Area code 541.
Hello?
Hello?
That's me. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes?
It's Allison.
Who is?
Hi,
oh, Allison! Yay!
Allison.
We have just talked about you. Well, we just have Will and is it Margo? And
Margo, she'll be on in a little bit.
Oh, okay. So Will and Allison have just joined us. Anyway, we'd love to hear your experience of what you got out of the symposium.
Ladies first, Allison, would you like to go?
Oh, me?
Sure.
Yeah, I thought the whole conference was just amazing. It was really great. I really like how it was different than other conferences in that it was just really focused on what's the word I'm looking for? On like cultivating our inner selves better. It was really just focused on that in our breakout groups that we went to, and that was just an amazing idea in itself, you know, where as soon as we got there, I'm not sure if you talked about this yet or not, but as soon as we got there, we were all assigned to small groups of 8 people, and each group was given a different name, and the group I was in was the No-Dites, and then those were the 8 people that became kind of like our family, you know, that we got to know each other really well. And then we were given different topics and we would explore them together. And it just really, I feel like it just brought us all so much closer together, and we got to know one another so much better, and also created relationships and bonds, you where we know we can lean on each other as we walk through this life and eternity from here on out. So it was really powerful in that way. And I enjoyed these focus groups, because I felt like we could really focus on a question and work on specifically cultivating our inner selves on the topics we were working on just by sharing our experiences. So I thought it was very fruitful.
Wonderful. What about you, Will?
Yeah.
Well, the thing that was most striking to me was that there were a couple of original forum members there, all the way down to fourth generation Urantia book readers. And the focus of the conference seemed to be, there were a lot of, I'm sure it's probably been mentioned, but there were people from 25 different countries, a lot of people who had never even been to a conference before and had no idea what to expect. And it was, as Allison pointed out, very focused on training and informing these people about the history of the movement, and that was very lovingly discussed. And then right on through what's expected of us through the Brotherhood's original publication mandate. It'd been a while since I read that, and it was very moving. And I felt a sense of engagement with everybody there. The publication mandate was the very first issue of Business in the symposium, and the feeling that it was tangible in the air that people had really committed to doing that, the forming of thousands of study groups. And because there were these old-timers and new readers who had been around with their families reading for generations, there was some place for these new folks to go. And they acknowledged, they asked people to stand up if they had, were second generation, third generation, or fourth generation, so that those of us who were, of course, I'm only a first-generation reader, but as many of you know, I was married to a third-generation reader who, the mother of my 2 children, she actually is deceased now, but she was Ruth Wren's granddaughter. And I remember the first time that I met her, one of the common questions we ask people is, well, how did you find the Urantia book? And I was expecting, I was going through this period of struggling and, soul searching, and all of a sudden it fell in my lap or whatever. But no. She said, well, when I was a little girl, I remember my grandmother telling me wonderful stories about Andon and Fanta. And it just blew me away. And what seems to happen when we've been reading the book for a long time, and even more so when we've been raised with someone who's been reading the book for a long time, we kind of absorb that loving focus, that confidence that we live in a friendly universe. And I think that's what I experienced there. Those people were able to gravitate toward the folks who had been around the book for a long time and ask their questions and just kind of absorb the love, if you will, by osmosis. It was just a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Well, once again, I'm going to take this opportunity to plug one of my passionate campaigns. This is a really important reason, folks, why you really need to teach your children about the philosophy and teachings in the Arantia book. It is absolutely not the same thing as giving children ready-made religion.
Well, that's for sure.
I wanted to throw in a great appreciation and a thank you. I don't know if it was Friday or Saturday night, Bob Sloan and Christina Seaborn, and I don't know the young lady's name. They held a beautiful, beautiful musical conference in the chapel, and the word chapel doesn't do the justice. It really, I would call it a cathedral.
It is beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, there were no photos, absolutely no photos allowed, and I could understand why, but it has it's a Catholic cathedral, and it was just gorgeous beyond description. And Bob had a piano in there and a keyboard, and then Christina had a violin, and this young lady's beautiful voice, she just sang like a beautiful angel almost. And the acoustics in there was just fantastic. And when Bob did the song Hallelujah, which not to lessen the impact of the song, but if anyone's familiar with it, it was in the movie Shrek, in the middle of the movie. And
The Leonard Cohen song, Hallelujah.
Okay. I'm not familiar with the artist, but I started crying when he was playing it, because just reminded me of some folks that are on the Mansion World now. But even though it was warm in the cathedral because there's no air conditioning in there, the service was absolutely fantastic. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Bob Sloan, wherever he is, and to Christina. It was fantastic.
You know, when that song played, wonderful. I don't think there was dry eye in the place.
That's true.
It was so amazing. I mean, and Bob is one of, I mean, you know, each of us strive for mastery in our own lives, and Bob has definitely achieved mastery on the keyboard. As has Christina. I commented to her afterwards. I said, my God, I've never heard sounds like that come from a violin. And she said, what did it sound like? And what popped into my mind is the old Beatles song, While My Guitar Gently Weeps. And she said, I was trying to make it sound like it was crying. And, you know, she's going. Was that your experience too?
Oh, yeah. And it sounded like she made these effects on the violin. It sounded like squeaky little mice at times. Or she also played the violin almost like a jazz guitar or
mm-hmm.
a saxophone. She's incredible. I just could not believe it. People were just staring at her in disbelief as how her fingers were just moving all over the body of the violin. It was just incredible, out of this world.
She's a wonderful lady too. I don't know if you've had much of a chance to get to know her. I've just met her at conferences from time to time, but I know that she's going to be the music director at IC11, which is happening in Salt Lake City this next week. And I said, are you going to play like that there? And she said, no. I as music director, I don't want to put myself in front of everybody else. So she really has a nice humility going on too.
Right, but we always get to hear her play every conference, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's
yeah.
a rare treat.
Yes,
when Christina went to the Parliament of the World's Religions with us in Australia, and we were asked to present in front of a group of women, and it was really special. And Christina, we did our part to the Creative Mother Spirit, which was wonderful too. And we were even being called by people at the Parliament as the Arantia tradition. So our participation in the Parliament for these last five times has given us an inroad, and Christina told the group, I'm going to take you away for a while. Don't worry, I'll bring you back. it was so poignant and so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Well, these conferences are always wonderful because they give those of us who are isolated out in the middle of the boondocks. And, of course, there were people from there was one man from Argentina. There was two people from Peru, one from Bolivia, a couple from Colombia.
Was by any chance Dipti Bhakti there from Argentina?
No.
Yes, he was.
Yes?
Well,
all
was.
Right.
I missed him.
No, that's Luis. He goes by Luis is his real name.
Okay.
Yeah. He's a musician and a filmmaker and an artist and a poet and quite the Renaissance man.
Yeah, and he's a wonderful person.
Was Luis the one that did the pictures? Does anyone know? There are two gorgeous paintings that were done by a Spanish artist. And I'm sorry, I say Spanish,
Carlos
but Spanish-speaking. Oh, was it Carlos?
Yes, that was Carlos.
Oh, thank you. Two gorgeous paintings, one given to the UAI and another one given to John Hales. He was there representing the fellowship in a way. And it was a beautiful moment because Gaetan of the UAI was up there, John Hales was up there representing the fellowship, and then Mo Siegel was up there. And it was really special to see leaders in the three social organizations up front and in, well, I don't want to spoil it with too much description, but it was a beautiful moment. I took a picture of it, so. We need to share pictures from this event for
oh,
folks
absolutely.
Who weren't there.
We would love to put some at least for one place on the Urantia Study Group Leaders Network Forum on Facebook.
Yeah, that would be cool. What do you, Will and James and Bill and Cher, did you guys get to take pictures? And Allison?
No, I didn't take any pictures. This is Will. I found that when I'm looking through a camera, I spend my whole conference looking through the camera. So I don't do that.
I got a few pictures.
Anybody
yeah.
who does have some photographs that they'd like to share, I invite you to send them to me at beekch@comcast. That's beekch@comcast.net. And I will definitely put them up on the site.
Can I add in, too, about how nice it was to see, as a second-generation reader, how a wonderful part of the conference for me was getting to see all the other second-generation readers again, all the kids that I grew up with. And, you know, we get to see each other every year, every 3 years, you know, at conferences. And what was so special about this year was that, you know, we had grown up together and seeing each other at the conferences every few years, but this conference was really special because we all, probably 90% of us that were there, you know, showed up with their first child. And it was so neat to see, like, to grow up together on Urantia and then see us come there with, you know, our first children and watching our children play together. And, you know, I mean, I have to say, like, just watching.
That gets me really choked up.
Yeah, and just watching, like, and they're all, and the children that were there, you know, coming into the world now through the second generation seems to be between the ages of, you know, like 0 and 2 years old or 3 years old. And so they're all kind of in the same, you know, age range. And I hope to be adding to that too.
But it was so one of the most beautiful, powerful moments for me was sitting in a room with it was Mirindi and her daughter Rose and Tamara and her daughter Bettina, and we were all sitting there together, and then their little girls were running around the room together. And Mike had Selma, who celebrated her first birthday there, and Alice and Chriswood had Huckleberry there.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah, and I know Jacob was there. His little boy wasn't able to be there, but I know he has a, I want to say two-year-old.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, and so they're just all coming to the world, and to watch our children playing together. And the most beautiful scene I saw was when me and Mirindi and Tamara were in the room with their two little ones who are 6 months apart in age, and I guess about, 1.5 and 2 years old. And they ran up to each other in front of us, and they kissed each other. And I was and they just hugged each other. And it was just this beautiful moment where I was like, wow, it's like a little Mirindi and a little Tamara kissing, you know?
Oh, how
and
adorable.
And to know that these children are going to grow up together like we did, and how we want to share that beautiful part of our lives and experiences and pass it on with our children, and it's actually starting and beginning to happen now. And it was just, to me, that was one of the most beautiful parts of the conferences for me, just watching us grow together and evolve.
This is an unrelated little anecdote that Andre shared with me recently, but last month we at our local worship service, Andre had asked the group if anybody in the congregation had perfect parents. And immediately, my niece and nephew's arm shot up, and they and Katie Halverson were the only ones who raised their hands. And it was
it was so precious and sincere, because they didn't hesitate for one instant. They were sitting in between their parents, and they're seven and five, and
hands
shot up without hesitation, like, Andre said, who here has had perfect parents in their hands? Shut up. It was the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Oh.
I want to share, too, Allison,
so
something
sweet.
That my heart, just like what you were describing, and that was in 96 at the Urantia Conference in Flagstaff. On the last day, there was a great big party, as always. You know, it's a big celebration, and it was a big picnic outdoors, and Jennifer Siegel created the event. It was really wonderful. She's so good at that. And I was standing there, and 3-year-old Jaron Katzen and 3-year-old my mind just went blank.
Ian?
Steve McIntyre's little son.
Ian.
3-year-old Ian and 3-year-old Jaron walked by hand in hand, and in this gigantic field full of people, just a big open space, and I immediately started looking around for their dads or their moms or anybody. And here's these two little boys, tiny little things, just walking through the field, hand in hand, swinging their arms. And I thought, only at a Urantia conference would a parent feel like it's okay for a 3-year-old to just go out and have a good time.
10 hours to go where they want.
It was so touching to me to see the two of them just so free and so happy. You know, nobody hovering over them. It was just really special. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
it is beautiful.
You know, the 2 hours have just flown by for the show, and that we're down to the last 20 minutes. And I was hoping that we could
have another waiting.
Oh, we do?
So.
Okay. Well, before you let the other person on the line, I just want to say that one of the things I want to make sure to do as we're going out on the show today is for each of you to share what you've taken with you and how you're going to implement this. Like, what are you going to do differently from here on? So let's let the next caller on.
Okay. This is Will.
Hello. Hello.
Eric 574, you are with us on the Cosmic Citizen.
Hello, do you hear Mark?
Hi,
yeah.
Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Who is on with you?
Oh, we have a lot of people on. Why don't you tell us your last name, or do you want to share your last name?
Oh, yeah, it's Mark Kurtz. I was at the symposium, and I've been listening here for a little while. I got an email from somebody that says you're talking, and I had forgotten about you. But I decided to join you and see who's there and see what you're saying and enjoy the company.
Well, we have James Woodward and Mike Bain. We have Cher and Bill Beasley. We have Will Sherwood. And Susan, you're going to have to pronounce your last name, Grishniak?
Griskoviak.
Griskoviak. We have Allison Zopel.
And you?
Good.
I think I brought, and we, who else have I missed? And then there's Paula Thompson and Crystalyn Beek Larson.
Okay, well, very good. I heard you talking about pictures a little bit ago. We did send out an invitation to attendees. These are people that are on the list, a Google email list, persons who registered and attended the conference, or the symposium, rather. And then right after the symposium, I sent out instructions for people to upload pictures to a special website that Scott Brooks created. And
oh,
if you
cool.
got a piece, if you got a piece of pencil, I'll read you that website address where you can register first and then upload pictures that you took. But if you go back to that instructions I sent out on the email, you'll have it there. But I'll give you that website if everybody wants, if you're ready, Crystalyn.
Sure. Now, I'm not on computer right now, so I'll have Paula post that on the chat room, too, please.
Okay.
Go ahead.
This is http://uaileadership.com/photos. And that's uaileadership.com/photos. And this is for a website for the symposium pictures only. And
great.
So if all of you who were attendees got that instruction email from me, it gives you the global password and it gives you the instructions of how to load pictures. It's not that hard once you do a couple of them.
Wonderful.
And I want to say, Crystalyn, I was so deeply... More deeply moved by the words that people chose to describe their feelings and changes and things that happened inside them in the experience of the symposium. I was so surprised how wonderfully moving in the words that people chose to describe the experience. One guy called Susan Griskoviak and said this was the most Susan, the most moving.
He said it was the supreme experience of his life.
Wow.
In those exact words. I was just really moved by his reaction to it. So I called Mark immediately because Mark had already spoken to him so many times and I knew Mark would be thrilled to hear it.
That's
and, you know,
wonderful.
There were a couple of things said there during the symposium, and I think maybe James said it, Antonia said it, a couple of other people, and the words were, wake up. It's happening to me, and it's happening to other people until people finally realize what this book really is and what Michael intends for our planet, Urantia. And it will emerge as the top priority of a person's life eventually.
Yes, indeed.
And this is where the real leadership for the whole revelation is going to come from, is from people who are transformed and waking up to how important this is for the planet. And then with that,
absolutely.
When that happens, we could share with our individual and personal gifts then.
Well, and I also would like to invite any of you that were there and who do want to start study groups in the next few years, immediately or over the next few years, to please do consider joining the Urantia Study Group Leaders Network on Facebook.
Urantia
Study Group Leaders Network, yeah. We're
okay.
Just about to change it into the new group format. We're a little unhappy that Facebook is forcing us out of our previous group format, but we'll see what we can do with it.
So, Crystal, and you had asked everybody to give them a chance to say what they're going to take away.
And we better start because we've only got 16 minutes
left. Yeah,
it'd
be a really nice intro, I think.
So, James, you were our first person on the air. So let's go through on the same order that you guys came on the air, okay? Well, actually, Mike, you were the first one on the air. So let's start with you.
Actually, it was James, but...
Oh, okay, James.
Who's counting?
Well, I guess the word that first comes to mind is commitment. An increased commitment that was cemented by the joy and the commitment of others who were there, the consecration. Like Bill and Cher mentioned, the service on Sunday, when we consecrated ourselves to the mission and to the will of God, I came away with a greater sense, not only in my own life, but buoyed by the fact that that so many others who were there took away the same sense of increased devotion to the mission.
Cool, Mike. How about you?
I'd say dedication. The amount of dedication from different folks from many areas to put this together, and then the dedication it took to bring people from literally the four corners of the globe to this one location. And it impressed upon me the need to dedicate myself every waking moment of the day, and to make a regular routine of dedication to the Father's will. And it gave me some very basic, grounded ideas to use in my daily life. And so dedication really sums it up for me, and all of the words around that, and love and courage and things like that.
Beautiful.
All right. Beautiful. Bill?
Susan?
Oh, Susan, yes. Sorry.
Hi. I said before, you know, that I'm going to commit myself to establishing more study groups. My family have been raised around a study group in the past, but it was unstructured. So as I said, I'm going to create a structured study group for my grandkids. But also, I've been taking college classes for 2 years, and there's a great cyber cafe that I'm going to begin a study group in South Bend. And Mark travels part of the year, so I'm going to try to help keep a study group going over on the east side of our area. And help him, you know, build and pull everyone together again over there. So
is
I really,
that the same Mark that we have on the air?
Yes, Mark Kurtz and I, we're neighbors.
Okay.
And so, you know, he travels part of the year, but there are some people in that area that are willing to study, and so I'm going to try to help, you know, him host that and get that going. I met with someone the other day that's willing to help also, so we're going to get that going. But more than just the study group goal, I came away with a lot of benefit from James's speech about self-mastery and working through our own problems to try to make the most of our gifts and share. So self-mastery is one of the things that I really took away from it, and making more use of my time, more creative use of my time.
Great. Who is next? Who came on the air along with Susan?
Well, Diane. Allison is, I believe, Bill and Cher dropped off a bit ago. Will had to drop off.
Oh, okay. And I have to drop off to change phone, so I'll be calling right back in. So, Alice,
okay.
Why don't you go ahead?
Yeah,
I think for me it brought a sense of peace inside. I think just and happiness too, just seeing especially I took away the peace from the spiritual families, you know, that we all kind of divided up in, to know that we would have those connections and kind of to be there for each other as we walk these spiritual paths through eternity together. And also watching the second generation, you know, introduce the third generation and how we're connecting, it just brought a lot of peace and happiness inside, and also a lot of just feelings of patience and commitment to long-term processes, you know, and that, and just watching it all evolve, you know, just slowly and in perfect time, you know, nature's time and in God's time. And it just brought me a lot of peace inside and happiness all around. And I'll take that with me and you know, keep putting that in the air and helping to, you know, create that, that feeling everywhere.
Great.
So, I know I've already shared, I'm down in Asheville now. I just moved here after the conference.
Yay.
And yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Cause it was neat for me because I celebrated my birthday at the conference, and then the next day I moved to, you know, my new town to start kind of the next new chapter in my life. So it was really a pivotal time for me, and really beautiful in that way, and just the perfect, you know, transition piece for me into my next new chapter. But, you know, that was just divine timing as well. But, yeah, and as soon as I got here, you know, I'm going to be working with Rabia and going to study groups here. We're going to hold it at the public library here downtown Asheville. And
right.
And I've already, like, it's such a open, you know, spiritually open community, and there's a lot of young people here. And so I've already, like, you know, been sharing with people I've been meeting, and there's already three or four people that are like, oh, tell me more about this Urantia book, you know. And it just seems like a great community that's really flourishing in that way. So I'm happy to be a part of that now too.
That's great. Wonderful.
If I could add just one more word, something that Allison was just and some others spoke to that reminded me. The tagline for the symposium was building community, one study group at a time. And I have a very, very strong sense that as all these people from around the world gathered together, that they did develop a sense of community, both within the group, the whole group itself, and also within their study group breakouts. And I think we did accomplish that. And I came away with a greater sense of community among the Urantia Book readership, and especially with regard to those who are devoted to doing something, either in study groups and or in the organizational realm. So that's it. And I'm looking forward to continuing the conversation there at Salt Lake City.
Great. Well, we're sure looking forward to having more of the spirit of community and commitment, devotion, and the real sense of intimate family spread around.
Absolutely. So, Mark, you get the last word.
Oh, I just was listening here, feeling very delighted for everybody, and this is a feeling that has grown up in me, is that other people are so delighted to have the experience, and I'm delighted for them. I'm coming away from this symposium with a greater determination that I want to do more. We all signed our names on that mosaic, I believe they called it, James.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a statement at the top, sign here if you want to consecrate your will to do the Father's will. I feel taken away a greater appreciation for friendship and sharing. And community that James just mentioned has enlarged for me. I just feel good for everybody who had good experience. And I see real things happening with improvement in community and sharing and teamwork. On this planet, we realize we need to be better team members. So I'm done, Kristen.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity.
Oh, it was such a pleasure. Thank you all for being on the show today. And Mike, I want to thank you especially, you and James, for really rallying everybody to call in today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And to share their experience. Thank you so much. I had to delegate quite a bit of work this week because my computer completely melted down. And I had to go back to the old phone-type communication system. And I'll tell you, it really does slow things down.
Well, you've done a wonderful job, both you and Paula. Thank you for keeping the Cosmic Citizen on the air and for the good service work you do. I'm grateful.
Well, ditto. And ditto, thanks for your program. I really have to say I was very inspired and really enjoyed the Blog Talk Radio combined with the study group on Tuesday night at the Foundation. That was a great idea, and it was a great program to listen to. So thanks, James. And thanks, Ann Garner, for that, and Chris Halverson. I think all of us who do work on the air sort of are kindred spirits in that service.
Absolutely.
Thanks, our old pal Andre, who told us all about it in the first place.
Yes.
Kind of
yes.
Miss that boy sometimes. I miss him.
Yeah, I
out
do too.
In, love you, Andre. No matter what, buddy. Love you a lot.
Mm-hmm. And I also want to thank our buddy Phil Taylor, who I know was also really instrumental in setting this program up, and Gaetan, who also was not able to be with us today because he was traveling. Thank you to Gary Rollins for his efforts. And James, maybe you can thank some of the other planners who I've left out.
Well, the planning committee consisted of the entire ISB, the International Service Board. There was excellent work done. Mark Kurtz is our treasurer. He did not say that, but I'll give him that shout out. He did amazing work. Our secretary, Susan Owen, did amazing work, also in the preparation, working with Phil Taylor, who was our program chair. Sheila Keen Lund is our education chair. Vern down in Australia had a lot to do with creating all of our materials. Rick Lyon, we didn't mention anything about Rick Lyon, but he did
and
go
I did
above
talk
and beyond.
To Rick last night, but he wasn't able to join us today. But he says, "Hi, everybody."
Yes, yes, he really helped pull everything together.
Indeed.
Well, and Bennett Rutenberg was also one of your participants.
MC,
right.
Yeah.
So thanks, Bennett. And then I also want to send a shout out to Antoinette Hall, who did such regular blogging on the internet and kept all the rest of us who weren't there informed about what an inspirational event was going on, and sort of inspired us to do this program today. And it's time for us to sign off. So thanks, Antoinette. I hope you and Pato have a very safe trip back from Brazil. And we look forward to seeing you this next week in Salt Lake City. And God bless everyone on the air. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next time. Join us next
week.
Bye-bye,
everybody.
Next
Thank
Saturday
you.
For the Cosmic Citizen.
Thanks.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for spending your day with us.
Bye-bye.
And until we meet again, it's the Cosmic Citizen. And
we wish you love and peace and truth, beauty, and goodness. Adios.
And we're not sure what we're going to be doing next week, but we're going to both be at the conference, so we might do a live show from there, or we might just play a repeat, but we'll let you know.
We're going to try to record a show previously and then play it on Saturday morning for you, because we have one of our major plenaries on that during that same time slot.
Right.
So,
dear,
we love
you
all.
Love you.
Thanks, Paula, for running the switchboard.
Thanks for doing a great job and all the questions, sweetie. You did a great job.
My pleasure. It's a pleasure, Treasure.
My pleasure,
much
Treasure.
Love.
Much love.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Cosmic Citizen, a radio program focused primarily on the study and discussion of the Urantia Book and its teachings. The Urantia Book is a religious text that claims to be written by angels and other superhuman personalities. If you are a Urantia Book reader or a spiritual seeker looking for new truth, we hope and pray you have been nourished and edified by our ministry. Please remember that the views expressed on this program do not reflect the official views and opinions of any Urantia organizations. There is no official interpretation of the Urantia Book. So all opinions expressed on this program exclusively reflect the personal biases of the hosts, guests, and callers who participate in these discussions. And remember, only a brave person is willing honestly to admit and fearlessly to face what a sincere and logical mind discovers.